You know, preaching the gospel is a great thing. It is a hard thing to preach the gospel because when you go before the audience, always without fail, you will feel a power of resistance. You will automatically feel a power of resistance coming from the audience. It will be a power that repels you and it repels Christ. And what it is, it's evil spirits. It's an evil atmosphere that comes from the carnal mind. And most everybody stays and lives and dwells in the carnal mind. And it is any time the minister goes before the sacred desk, he has to face this. And if he isn't really a minister, he'll do one or two things. He'll either get discouraged and quit because of that undercurrent that he feels, or either he will turn it into a gimmick, a rock and roll or something, to where he can get in with the atmosphere of the flesh, the jubilance of the people, and just have a glutton good time. But if he's a man of God, he'll just break it up like it's a new ground and plow right on through it. Won't give in to any mind that he feels. If he's a real man of God, he feels minds. He'll feel a mind. A mind is a spirit. It's alive. He'll feel that life coming from an individual. He can feel that life just like you had heaters out here blowing, you know, maybe hot air coming out of this and then cold air coming out of another vent over here or something, and he can feel it coming from each individual. And what he has to do is just pass on over it just like they wasn't even sitting in the audience. And go on and plow until he breaks up the fallow ground and drives the devils and demons out. And then the people that give place to devils and demons, he binds them. He binds them until they can't do nothing but sit there and listen. So then he has to go through all of that again and again and again. And he would get so weary if it was not for the fact that he really called of God. Then when you fight the battle, as long as I have and as many years as I have, you know what to do and you just go right on. Reading in the book of Daniel, I've read the scripture a number of times, but I want to read from the 12th chapter if you've got your Bibles. You know what we don't realize as people is that each individual is a sovereignty, and that each individual has a life. They have a life. Inside of that human body is a life. And that life is a light. And it's either a dark light or it's a clear light. And if it's a dark light, the Bible said, if that light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? And if that light in you is dark, that spirit, that life in you is darkness, then it repels the minister. It repels the minister. And it is an enemy to the minister. It works against the minister. But nevertheless, God endows the minister with super ability, super endurement and super strength, that he might have the power to arrest those spirits and to overcome and to continue on for his sake. A lot of times in so doing, he will break an evil spirit off of an individual that's been bound for many years. And though the individual may not acknowledge it, they may not say anything because they don't want the rest of the audience to know that they've been in that kind of condition, yet they'll be so grateful in their heart that they've got free from that evil power. But you know, the best way to do is just be what you are. Amen. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace of God has made me what I am. And if every person could understand and realize that they are a sovereignty, that they are a life, and that they're giving off all the time. They're giving off. Just like a bulb, a light bubble, a glow. They're giving off. And they're giving off one kind of an atmosphere or another. They're giving it off. All the time, they're giving it off. See, if they could just realize that and realize the seriousness of that, realizing that God is going to call them into the judgment for that very thing, as to what kind of atmosphere that they created when they come around people, as to what kind of impression they leave, what kind of feeling they leave. If they just understood that God is going to call them into the judgment for that, and they're going to have to answer to God for everything that they've ever done, every deed that they've ever done while living in this body, it would make them feel so different. For instance, a person can come around and they might be a sad sort of a person. They may have a sad countenance or a sad spirit. And they may create such an atmosphere that you just feel so down in the dumps, as the world says. You just got the blues, as somebody would say. Then another person may come around and they may just be crawling like ants with lust spirits. When they get around you, they just cause you to feel so lustful that you feel like you could just eat a person up in the lust of the flesh. And then there may be another person that may come around and they may create such an atmosphere that it may make you want to feel holy and clean and just and have an ego and a desire just to be like Jesus or to do something for God. They stir your spirit one way or another. Now, when you get into the place that I'm in, you see those things, and that's the world that you live in. And you know those things. And life is so vexing, so very vexing, unless you remain in the atmosphere of Jesus. And try your best to be always just as He would have you to be. Because you feel everybody's world as they come around. You discern everybody's world. You know what kind of world that they're in. And every one of those worlds is grabbing at you. Grabbing at you. That's an unseen force, a magnetic force that draws you to that. Draws you to that. That's why that a lot of young girls and boys fall into the powers of dope and into those pitfalls. You go out here in the world and you see slime pits, natural pits, places of destruction. We see that with our natural eyes and we know that there's danger out there and we understand that. But see, all of that is only a typical thing and a type of people who are slime pits are people who, as the Bible uses the terms, are open sepulchres that don't appear until someone falls into it. They're full of dead men's bones. That is, they've caught many a person in that trap. And spiritually speaking, Jesus said that they're filled with dead men's bones. Many people have been killed. They're a slime pit of lust. Or their slime pit of reasoning. Or their cunning education or thought. Or crafty ability to capture and to overthrow. Making money. Leaving a desire with people to want to get houses and land. And creating an atmosphere for wealth and convenience and comforts and securities. All of those are slime pits. But see, there's a place that you can get to where God will meet all of your needs, and God will take care of you, and God will give you all of the security that you need by trusting in Him and by believing in Him, and He'll give you great happiness. That's the kind of atmosphere that you want to be around. Stay away from the currents, the undercurrents. Stay away from the suck holes. Stay away from the slime pits. Don't get too near the cliffs. Watch what you're doing. Always watch and pray, because it's a reality. All of those things are only typical of the spiritual dangers. Spiritual mothers should watch with all perseverance and concern. They should watch spiritual children to keep them away from slime pits. And when they see that a person comes around, you know, we're made out of the dust, and they look and see that little hill of dust, and they see that's a slime pit, they should watch their spiritual children, warn the spiritual children against that person or that little hill that's filled with slime. Warn them, watch, and pray. Spiritual mothers should do that. But as I said so many times, mothers in the day that we're living in, they're not concerned about their children. They're concerned about men. They want to dress, fix their hair, their bodies, so that men will admire them or look at them, or that they can catch a man's attention. It makes them feel good if they come to church and they get that feeling that a man or some man is admiring them or noticing them, not realizing that's evil, that they're approaching on the rights and sovereignty of another woman, or vice versa, another man's property. Did you know that that's wrong? There should be signs there, no trespassing, and God does have them that way. Slime pits, evil, but it will always be. I can't change it. You can't change it. No one can change it. The Bible said God has fashioned it like that. The leopard can change his spot. The Ethiopian changes skin. And they that are accustomed to do evil can do good. But you can't make the crooked straight. You can't do it. You build a house and you got a framework, and you start the frame off wrong, you're going to have trouble all through the building process of that house. You got to get your foundation right. You got to get your thinking right, your desire right. Did you know you're not going to have your thinking right till you get your desire right? Did you know that? You must get your desire right. You've got to desire Christ and desire holiness and desire cleanliness and desire justice, desire righteousness, desire wholesome living. You've got to have a desire for that. If you don't have a desire for that, you're never going to think right, because you're going to think according to your desire. God will grant unto you and give unto you the desires of your heart. If your heart desires the evil, lustful, wicked things of this world, God will give them to you. He will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. And your thoughts are going to bear fruits one way or another. All right, I want to read just a little bit here. I just felt like saying those things, and I was just going to talk with you a little bit tonight anyway. I just want to talk with you. But in the 12th chapter, we read where Michael stands for his people in the last day, the great angelic prince of heaven. And I read the other night where it says here that at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. I want to read just a little bit of this as a refresher. I want you to listen to it. And at that time shall Michael stand up. I want you to especially notice what I'm saying. It says at that time the great angel of God shall stand up. How many following what I'm saying? It points out a time. It predicts a time. It unveils to our understanding a certain season wherein we can look for a certain thing. In that certain season, it says a great angel will stand up. If that certain time, at that certain season, that if we watch, that we will see a great angel, a great angelic being that will stand up. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now what time will this be? When will Michael do this? When will this time come? What season? How can we know it? In what way can we tell? You know, the Bible calls you a hypocrite if you can't discern the signs of the time. You look around and you see signs, great big signs saying Motor Lodge such and such. Great big signs saying supermarket such and such. And everywhere you see natural signs. Hundreds and thousands of spiritual signs are in the earth. Signs of the time. All those natural signs are representation of it. Thousands of signs of the time are in the earth. The Bible tells us that if we cannot discern those signs of the time, that we are a hypocrite. Because a person that is a Christian can discern the signs of the time. Now, when will we know that the hour is here for Michael to stand up? When can we tell? Or how can we tell when it is to be? It says here that when he stands up, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. So then we know and recognize the time by one thing. And that is, at that particular time, at that particular time, that it's going to be a great time of trouble. It's going to be a great time of trouble at that particular time. Not just trouble. Where somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I have to recognize it by a time of trouble, then we've had a lot of trouble. It might be any time, but see, it doesn't define it like that. It says, and there shall be a great time of trouble such as never was. You've never seen a trouble season or age like that season is going to be. That season is going to be such great trouble, such as the world has never had, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time. What does it mean, such as there was? Never was a time of trouble like this one, even since a nation. Since a nation came into existence. What nation? The Jews. Daniel, I'm speaking to you concerning the Jewish nation. There's going to be a time of trouble among the Jewish people, such as there has never been since the Jews were a nation. Never since Israel was a nation. Never been a time of trouble with them, Daniel, like there's going to be. Now listen to this. Even to that same time, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. It tells us that at that time of great trouble, that the resurrection from the dead is going to take place. At that time of great trouble, that the resurrection of the dead is going to take place. When will this be? When the great angelic being
stands up for Israel. That means that the world is going to press Israel. All of the nations of the world are going to press in against Israel in such a great and mighty way. Until it's going to stir the heart of God to the place that God is going to send Michael, the great prince, down to earth to stand and fight for Israel. Now you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that God would do a thing like that. But he did it in the days of Joshua. When Joshua crossed over the Jordan, he met the angel of God. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the angel of the Lord of hosts." He met him when Gideon was having trouble and Gideon couldn't win the battle. The Bible said the angel of God came and stood there ready to fight with Gideon. The Bible said when Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted and looked like all of his strength was gone and he just couldn't go any farther, the Bible said the angels of God came and ministered unto him. They came and comforted him and they were concerned about him. Hallelujah. So then God still today has angelic beings, angelic powers that still waiting just for a chance, just for a chance and opportunity to be able to help us, standing right nearby all the time, ready to help me. When I have a problem and I can't make it, and I say, "Jesus, the forces are too great. I need a helping hand." I can feel the angels of God close by. And I say, "Brother Pike, you don't really feel them." Yes, I do. I feel them close by. And sometimes I see them in visions. They're close by, waiting, waiting, just waiting to do something. All I got to do is just say, "Help me." And they're right there ready, flaming swords of fire, ready to take vengeance upon them that do wicked. It said at that time that the dead shall raise up out of the ground. At that time, those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. I like that, don't you? The way that they say it, Jesus said, "Lazarus sleepeth." We don't have to die. But he said, "They are asleep, they shall awake." Many of them that sleep in the dust, the Bible said, shall awake. They shall awake to get up out of the dust, to come forth. And the Bible said, "And they that have turned many to righteousness shall shine, outshine the brightness of the noonday sun." Outshine the brightness of the noonday. They that have turned many to righteousness shall outshine the brightness of the sun. At that time, that makes me to know that Israel, or the war of Israel, that at that time it's going to be the end of the world. And you might not look at things the way that I do, but I believe what God tells me. I believe the signs of the time. I believe exactly what God shows me. I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it. If God tells me something, I believe it. It doesn't matter what anybody says, I still believe it. They might criticize me and find fault with me and do all kind of things, but I still believe what Christ tells me about it. Right here at this very moment, at this very hour, look at the things that's taking place. Look at the papacy over here in the Holy Land. Why is it that we've got all of a sudden a Polish pope? Why is it that he spent so many years with the communists or in communistic areas? Why all of a sudden would God bring up a man like that? God has his way in the good. God has his way in the evil. Why would God suffer a man to be in office like that all of a sudden? Because it's that hour. It's that hour. You say, "Brother Pike, I can't accept that." But it's still that hour. You might be a great Bible scholar. You might have your ideas about it. But I want you to know that hour is at hand. It's here. That great time of controversy where God is going to have a controversy with the earth until the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. So then, the Bible tells us here, just prior to the coming of Michael, he speaks of the Antichrist, and he says that he will stand up, place his tabernacle, his palace between the seas, in the glorious holy mountains. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Have you understood what I said there? It said that he shall place his tabernacle in the glorious holy mountain. You follow me? All right, let's look at the situation just for a moment now. Now we could get to preaching to you and really preach because I feel God's spirit. But I want to get over a few thoughts to you if I can. That's why I take my time a lot of times. Not trying to hinder the anointing or draw back from the anointing. I know some of you just, let's get in there and churn, let's go. But see, there's more to it than that. We need to understand something. Look at the situation right now. Look at it. Look at this Pope that's just come up. The Bible speaks in the book of Revelation of how that Satan will curl his tail, the red dragon, curl his tail around a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. What is the red dragon? It's Satan. It's the bloodline. Is that right? What is the beast? The human body is the beast. It's called the creature. So then, the blood life, that perverted life that started from the fall in the garden, Satan, the red dragon, communistic power, China. Do you understand what I'm saying? The great spirit of communism, the Polish papacy of Rome. Are you listening? I say, Brother Pike, how can you get that? Because if you'll look back, you'll find that the Church of Rome has a trail of blood. It's the red dragon. It has a trail of blood, killed, murdered. Everywhere it's murder. That's all I've ever known, a trail of blood. It's the red dragon. And it says that he curled his tail around a third part of the stars of heaven and it cast them to the earth. What was it the paper stated? Said that that Pope spoke to 1 billion people. How many people are there accounted for in the world? 3 billion. How many would 1 billion be? One third. For the Bible said he wrapped his tail around a third part of the stars. You say, but Brother Pike, that's people. But the Bible said in heaven, people are as angels. That is, they're accounted for in heaven as spirits. And the Bible said that that red dragon was in the second heaven. That it points out it was. It was in the second heaven, right where the man child was. Where is the woman in travail? She's in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The second heaven. You understand what I'm saying? That's the grace of God. How do you get the second heaven out of that? Because it's Calvary. Calvary is the sonship realm, the second realm. And that's where the blood is spilled. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This has to do with Brother Taylor's problem and Sister Linda's condition right now. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I might get over your head, I might not. It depends on how you listen. The Spirit talked to you to hear what the Spirit said unto the church. Things are taking place. Mighty things like I saw in the vision. Things in heaven is taking place. I see things taking place in heaven. All around I see things in heaven. Taking place. We're in that heaven. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. How many of you dwell in heaven? Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. For the accuser of thy brethren has been cast down. He that accused before God day and night. Rejoice. If you dwell in heaven, then rejoice. Are we they that dwell in heaven? We are made to sit together in the heavenly places. God has chosen us out of this world and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restitution of all things. That means that those people, the Gentiles, has been in grace, the second realm, been in the heavens. But remember, when the man child is caught up to the throne, we spoke about the moon, the trip to the moon, the footprints, what it had to do with, the types. But look at it spiritually. Remember that little image coming over now from the Catholic Church. Since that time, nobody can put on the crown. Why is that? Because the man child went up and took the crown. They can't wear it anymore. It's gone. See, the child born in Bethlehem, for out of thee the land of Judah. The crown, even the next pope that just come in, he's not wearing the crown. Why is it? Because they've been cast out of heaven. It shows that there is an end of the Gentile age, that the blood is coming off of the mercy seat. When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, what does that mean? That means that blood life can no longer be in the presence of God. That the red dragon, the blood life, the beast, the crooked generation, the generation of serpents, the Bible calls it, is cast out of grace, out of the presence of God. There is no more crown. Crown means rulership, kingdom, heaven. No more crown. They can't wear the crown anymore. Because the sins of the Jew has been forgiven. The blood is now upon them. It's not on the head of the Jew anymore. God's chosen, the apple of his eyes beginning to come in. The crown. How do you understand what I'm saying? A third part of them went out of heaven. 1 billion people that he spoke to who gladly received and accepted his testimony and the things that he said. 1 billion people. A third of the population of the earth. A third of them that dwell in heaven, in that God had given grace to humanity. But the blood coming off of the mercy seat, the end of mercy, the crown rejected, the man child taking it. Where does it speak of all of this? In the book of Revelation? And what about the channel 46? What about the satellite and the man child going up to the throne? What is it called? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where John spoke of it. All happening at that very same time. What is it that we're going to put on the program? If you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll find out the first 3 verses says the revelation of Jesus Christ and reads on down till it says the time is at hand. And on our program, that's the way it comes on, and that's the way it'll be through the program. It reads the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. And then it goes on down and says the time is at hand. Now, let's look at it a little farther. Why is it? If what I'm saying isn't true, why is it that all of a sudden at this time that the bonds child, the Egyptian powers, Sabbat, why is it that all of a sudden through them there comes an invitation to the papacy of Rome to come over, to Egypt, when the Bible said, out of Egypt I've called my son? Why is it at this time that they are receiving an invitation? See, the Antichrist or anti-child, all of a sudden they are inviting him to come over to Egypt. Then they are talking about going from Egypt over to the holy mountain. The Bible said he shall set his palace in the holy mountain. And they're planning to go into Israel over to the great mount of God. Why is Antichrist doing that? You remember on Mount Sinai, Moses was the prophet. Remember that? Pointed to Jesus, the prophet like unto Jesus. He stood on the glorious mountain. There he stood, and it burned with fire. And there was two covenants given, and one of them was broken, one of them was accepted. Why was that? Said when Christ comes back and his feet sits upon the Mount of Olivet, the mountain shall cleave in half. There's going to be a great division. There's going to be a great divide, and you just watch and see. There's going to be an outstanding thing that will happen in his visitation over there. Why is it? Because it has to do typically with the return of Jesus. But it's Antichrist. He will magnify himself, make himself great and mighty. The Bible said that he will not regard the desire of women. Isn't that right? What was the first thing that the Pope said when he come in? He reaffirmed the stand for no marriage. That priest should not be married to women. Took the stand. Said because his interest will be power. Power. He will want power. Said no one can make war with him. How can they? China has 700 million people. And no one would dare to make war with China that was in their right mind unless it's going to use an atomic power. And here is a man that has controlling power over more than 700 million, a billion people. You understand what I'm saying? Another 300 million people added to his list. Who can make war with him? Who can make war with him? Going over to Israel, going over to the mountain, all of a sudden the Holy Land. The Bible said, and he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of God. In other words, they're going to encroach on the rights of Israel. Israel is not satisfied over that peace pact. I made the statement there'll never be a peace pact with Israel. There's only one peace for Israel, and that's the Prince of Peace. Jimmy Carter, nobody else will ever bring peace to Israel. God is Israel's peace. There is no peace to the wicked. The only peace there is Christ. The wicked have no peace. They're like the troubled waters that's ever casting their mire up upon the banks. They don't have any peace. But the Prince of Peace is coming. What will happen at this time? And many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake to everlasting life. Things are getting close, closer and closer. Notice this. God having spoke to Daniel. Then we go over to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we see the thing that took place there with the woman being in travail. We find in that same chapter that Lucifer goes out, and then the proclamation is come, or said, now is come salvation and strength. Now is come salvation and strength. But listen to this. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. How can they say now has come the kingdom of God? For the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. Why is it that all of a sudden it said now has come the kingdom of our God? It has reference to the fact that at last the kingdom of God will not be abused anymore. That it will be established. And the sons of God will now take over the earth and rule the entire earth. It's like the letter I wrote Talmage a few days ago. The Lord spoke to me about him here a while back, how that he would lift him up. And sure enough, he did. All of a sudden, here goes in the Georgia president, which makes the Georgia senator tops. And then they advertise the highest paid senator in Senate. Begin to be in the papers. All of these things started happening. And then Satan began to close in. Wanted to disgrace him and tear him down because he was bold like a lion, stood for good things, and wasn't afraid to speak out. And then when the Lord spoke to us the second time concerning him, I sent him this letter, this telegram letter, or whatever you call it, lettergram. And I told him what God told me to tell him, and how that God would deliver him. And already they said that God has started to deliver him, that the papers is carrying it already, that it was a frame thing, just like we understood. But see, God also spoke to him, telling him other things. What does this mean? It means that God is getting ready to take over the government and bring in something that's right, to establish something for us. The devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Therefore ye rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Who is that woman? There's only one woman he can persecute. He's got to persecute Israel, because Israel's the one that brought forth Jesus. Persecute her. Isn't that what he did even in the dark age? When Jesus was born, he set in on the woman. Fulfilled the scriptures. All through the dark age, he persecuted her. Thousands upon thousands of them died. God preserved the church. Had a place prepared even in his typical sense of America. Here the woman stayed. Speaking of the spiritual Jew now. God showing us something. But see, that peace pact, that papacy of Rome intends to do one thing. Having a billion people under his control. Don't you know that Satan will enter in there? Don't you know that Satan... we'll never let a man stay in the earth that hath control over a billion people without entering into him. You know he won't let him rest day or night. Like the Bible said at the Last Supper, Christ gave Judas the sop and Satan entered in. Until that time, Judas had been a religious figure. He had obtained part of the ministry. But brother, don't you know that Satan is standing by, saying a billion people. He's got control of a billion people. The power that Satan needs to rule the world with. A billion people. Satan won't rest day or night till he enters in. Pressing, wanting control. Knowing that this is his opportunity. It's his great opportunity, the thing that he's looked forward to for so many years. All right, he persecuted that woman. You just watch what we're telling. There is going to be a dividing asunder. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean that papacy going over there shows that Sedat and those people are going to cater to the Catholic Church. And why will Egypt cater to the Catholic Church? Because communism has been favorable with Israel all the time. And that's another communistic move. What will that cause? That'll cause Israel to start backing off. Because the Bible said, and the mountain cleaved in half. And when they start backing off, that's going to cause the Antichrist to billow like a pot. You know why? Because his one hope is to get control of Israel. He will really feel like he is the Prince of Peace and God personified in the earth. If he can put that thing over with Israel. But when Israel begins to feel that, they're going to back off. When they begin to back off, it's going to make him bitter. There's going to be a split in the great church. And some's not going to stand with him. There's going to be a division. Why? Because that time is near. That time is at hand. That's why that we're carrying the program as we are. The time is at hand. Let me read it to you right here in the book of Revelation. Don't forget now, when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes, what does it mean? It means the time is at hand. Because what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the revealing of Christ. And who is Christ? It's you and I. It's you. It's me. It's us. The body of Jesus. Somebody said, well, I don't see it like that, but it's just the same anyway. Say, well, I'm looking for him to appear in the heavens, but the Bible said he shall suddenly appear within his saints. Somebody said, but he said he'll appear in the clouds. But the Bible said, being compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Somebody said, I'll cloud up and rain all over you. In the first part of the book of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if the time was at hand, then where is Jesus? If you'll read on a little further, over here in the 12th verse, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You follow me? The revelation of Jesus Christ. What was John seeing? Christ himself appeared in the mist. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You understand what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, it is a sad, solemn hour. Many things could be said tonight. Many things could be said concerning the revelation, the coming of Jesus, the revealing. Never been a more wicked hour. Never been a time when it's just right for the coming of Jesus. Never been a day when the stages are so thoroughly and completely set for the trouble of Israel such as never has been since he was a nation. Never. Everything is just set for it. Everything. And you're fixing to see everything start. It's like I said the other night when I was preaching, You're going to see Jehu get up in his zeal. You're going to see Israel stir up and come to the front with her sword, or his sword in his hand ready for battle. You're going to see the chariots of Jehu roll. And you're going to see old Jezebel boil like a teapot. That's right. And God's going to move in and things are going to start happening. We're living right on the verge of the destruction of the entire world. As I said, even the thing that's happening with Brother Taylor and Sister Linda, it has to do with that. I spoke confidentially to my wife and some others about it. That has to do with it. But remember this, whether you see these things or whether you don't, God's speaking to you in your own comrades, in the thing that's taking place, whether you see it or whether you don't. Yet remember, the Bible said he that cannot discern the signs of the time is a hypocrite, because ye are children of light, that day should not come upon you unaware. Ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And when you see these things, know that it's even at the door. All right, I want you to stand with me. Awarded the Nobel Peace Prize to Sadat and Begin. Something has got to take place. We're living down at the last final moments, and something has got to happen. I want to be ready, don't you? I want to be ready. The Bible said, watch and pray. Hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Watch and pray. We need to watch and pray, children of God. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because something most assuredly is taking place. Let's sing a little chorus together. If you love Jesus tonight, the Bible tells me that you'll keep His commandments. Isn't that right? Keep His commandments. There's a lot of things that we could say tonight. A lot of things. We'd have to retrace our footsteps just a little bit. Go back over into Israel, or not Israel, or Memphis. Back in the Mississippi area. Back a few years ago. We'd have to tie a few things together. But it would be so clear, so very vivid, if we did that. But the thing that I'm interested in is trying to get across to you enough that you can understand and believe what I'm telling you, because it's a serious time. I appreciate every one of you. I appreciate your efforts. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate your efforts. Appreciate your support in that you've come here to be with us. Brother Junior, I appreciate him coming here, wanting to just right off the reel give $8,000 to help in a piece of property over here. Also, Brother Roger. Brother Roger hasn't been able to do a whole lot, but he's worked and he's done what he could, and everything is looking up in that direction for him. The possibility that he may come up with $100,000 to $150,000 that is his. As a matter of fact, you received a letter the other day concerning it. It looked like it was a lost cause for several years. He was fixing to just throw it aside. But he come and talked with us. He said he wanted to do something for Jesus. We began to pray and give him a little advice as the Lord led us. And now then, everything is looking real good for him. And there's a possibility that he himself may give the church $50,000 or $60,000. He could very easily do it and still have $50,000 or $60,000 left for himself. But even if it was just a dollar, it would be wonderful. If it's nothing, that's all right. But the thing is, God makes a way for them to give that wants to give. Did you know that? A lot of people say, oh, if I had it, what I would do with it. God knows what you would do with it. That's why you haven't got it. But then there are some that have to go to Calvary for it. Brother Roger went to Calvary. He still bears the marks in his body. He almost burned to death. When you get it that way, you don't forget too easy. Isn't that right? When God gives it to you that way, you don't just stand off and say, if I had it, what I'd do with it. You've already been to Calvary. You know what to do with it. You love Jesus? They sang that song, I've been to Calvary. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to Calvary? If you ever drank a cup of loneliness with Jesus, you ought to go to Calvary. Go to Calvary. Somebody brought me a picture the other day. I've never seen one just like it. Great big spike driven in the feet of Jesus with a cross like this, you know. And somebody painted the blood drops and painted the tears out of the mother's eye as she clings to the cross of her son. And it shows the feet very plain how that when they hit it with the heavy iron maul or whatever, that many times they missed it, as the picture betrays or gives it, portrays it. As it hit, it missed, and it hit one of the toes, and it busted the nail all to pieces. Then it hit, and it glanced, and it bruised another part and busted the skin. Then it busted another toe, tore it up as the brutal impacts of it came down. Jesus. And they said, Lord, where did you get these nail prints? He said, this is what my friends thought of me. Somebody would say, now wait a minute. No friend would be like that. Jesus said to Judas' friend, said, this is what my friends thought of me. He had been a friend to Judas, but Judas had not been a friend to him. Isn't that right? He had been a friend to them, but they had not been a friend to him. Abraham was called a friend of God. We sang the song, I'll be a friend to Jesus till my day shall end. I'll be a friend to Jesus. I want you to bow your heads with me. Precious, wonderful God of heaven, knowing that the great judgment of the Almighty God is just out before us, we know that we are the least of all of thy people. Though thou should scan the earth and comb the earth, thou couldst not find one that is smaller than we. For Lord, we are less than nothing. But Jesus, we're trusting in the nail prints, in the blood of Calvary. We're trusting, oh God, in the love that flowed from your wonderful breast. Holy Father, gracious Holy Father, heal tonight and save tonight. Heal and forgive. Deliver. Deliver, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For we believe, oh God, we believe, we trust you. Hallelujah. Jesus, tonight, let your great power and glory be upon us and upon the people of little Bethlehem. May we dwell together in unity of faith, spirit, and love. Jesus, may we be one for all and all for one. Jesus, be with us. Help us. God, for those that don't have a vision or haven't gotten a hold of the vision, may they get a hold of a vision. May they want to do something for God. Holy Father, help us. Help us in Jesus' name. Bless our people and heal and save them. Watch over their little ones. Prosper them in Jesus' name. Give us a pure heart and clean hands from the blood of all men. I ask it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus together and we'll let you go. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away.